like to begin by recognizing my fellow authors on this manuscript, who are not here today, but who really participated in this analysis. I'm going to provide a different perspective to what our prior speakers spoke about, which was new to me as was new to you. I hadn't heard it before. One spoke about sort of HPV vaccinations and a specific program. Another spoke to folic acid and a specific program. My presentation is going to focus both on individual level risk factors like taking folic acid or leisure activities or smoking or drinking during the preconception period, as well as taking a look at some of the clinical screenings that might be going on for women who are not pregnant but at various risks for becoming pregnant. So that's what I'm going to offer. So I have notes that I want to make sure I use. The health of a society is often measured by the health of the babies that are born. And along with improved nutrition and public health, advances in medical therapy have reduced the infant mortality rate from more than 100 in the early 1900s to 7.4 in 2006. Some have hypothesized that we have done everything that we can during pregnancy and after pregnancy to improve the health and wellness of moms and babies. Therefore, now the suggestion is that we need to improve the health and wellness of moms and babies not during or after pregnancy, but before pregnancy if we want to further improve this infant mortality rate or other indicators of societal health that have to do with moms and babies. Our research hypothesized that lifestyle choices and clinical practices that women are exposed to before pregnancy are related to their pregnancy intention or risk for an unintended pregnancy. So, as described here, preconception health refers to the health of a woman before she becomes pregnant. Recent recommendations from the CDC in 2005 recommend that every woman should have a reproductive health plan, and ongoing reproductive health assessment for women should occur for every woman at every clinical encounter. However, a small number of studies have looked at population-level risks of women that are not pregnant. After looking at the literature quite extensively, there are a few studies that talk about women that are intending a pregnancy, but very few that look at population-level data that look at women who are at risk for pregnancy but not necessarily intending pregnancy. So this figure illustrates the number of reproductive years of the average woman, and the typical woman spends 5 years pregnant, postpartum, or trying to get pregnant, and 30 years trying to avoid pregnancy. The idea is not to consider women only as baby vessels, but rather that reproductive capacity is one element of women's health of which women should spend a significant number of years trying to avoid. Using a lifespan approach as depicted in this graph, the trajectory of women's wellness not only projects across their lifespan, but the wellness of the children that they may choose to have in the future. In fact, there is a growing body of literature suggesting that the health of a mother during her pregnancy influences the health of her unborn child as she reaches adulthood, for example. There is some literature to suggest that a woman who is incredibly stressed during her pregnancy, that child, when it's an adult, is at a greater increased risk for having cardiovascular disease, for example. So, we also know pregnancy can be avoided with some methods more effectively than others. A woman that is fertile, sexually active, and not using any birth control is at a greater risk of becoming pregnant than a woman who is using birth control. We also know that women who use continuous birth control methods are at a lower risk for pregnancy than women using periodic methods. Continuous birth control includes methods such as the pill or the IUD. Periodic methods use such things as the condom or withdrawal or spermicides. So, What we did was we looked at the BRFIS data and combined data from 2002 and 2004. We looked at non-pregnant, fertile women between the ages of 18 and 44 and considered their those years considered to be their reproductive years, and sorted their lifestyle and clinical risk factors by the pregnancy intention or contraceptive method. So we had four categories. They included intended pregnancy, high risk for an unintended pregnancy, moderate risk for an unintended pregnancy, and low risk for an unintended pregnancy. High risk women included those women who were fertile and using no birth control method, but didn't choose the reason for not using any birth control method because they were intending a pregnancy. They chose some other reason, so they were not intending a pregnancy. Moderate risk women included those women using periodic birth control methods, and low risk women included women using continuous birth control methods. The behavioral risks that we considered looked at weight, alcohol use, smoking, leisure activity, and folic acid consumption. Weight was categorized into underweight, normal weight, overweight, or obese, contingent upon body mass index, or BMI. Alcohol use considered any alcohol use, binge use for women, which is 5 or more drinks on any one occasion, or heavy use, which is more than 7 drinks a week. Leisure activity was dichotomous and coded based upon this question. During the past month, other than your regular job, did you participate in any physical activities or exercises such as running, calisthenics, golf, gardening, or walking for exercise? And folic acid supplementation, do any of the vitamins or pills that you take contain folic acid? The screening list that we considered included the questions: have you had a pap test, HIV test, has a provider counseled you about STDs, has a provider counseled you about tobacco use, and have you seen a dentist? So this is where my graphs get busy. So I'm just going to highlight a few things. When looking at risk factors, several interesting lifestyle differences jump out. But before I draw your attention to those differences, I'd like you to take note of the referent column. This group will ultimately be used as the referent group in subsequent slides that I show, as these women typically have the best birth outcomes. That is, white women between the ages of 18 and 34, educated, higher income, employed, and with health insurance. As this table illustrates, the ideal group has a greater prevalence of women of normal weight, more women that exercise, and rates of folic acid consumption comparable to women that are intending a pregnancy. It is interesting to note that they are drinking alcohol at higher rates, but I would also make note that a recent analysis by Dr. Tentu, a colleague of mine at SLU and co-author on this paper, suggests that this ideal group of women is also most likely to reduce drinking upon learning of their pregnancy. I'd also like to bring your attention to the fact that women are not the women who are not using any birth control, that is, the women in the unintended HR group, have the greatest prevalence of obesity, greatest prevalence of smoking, and lower prevalence of leisure activity. It is also noteworthy that women intending a pregnancy are taking folic acid at the greatest rates. And these are weighted prevalence odds ratios, so they should be reflective of the general population. Only have 3 minutes and it's not moving. There we go. In terms of clinical screenings, women intending a pregnancy are receiving HIV testing and tobacco counseling at the greatest rates, while women at the highest risk for an unintended pregnancy are least likely to have had a pap test, an HIV test, or STD counseling. Not surprisingly, women using continuous birth control methods, those that often require a prescription from their healthcare provider, are also most likely to have had STD counseling. The adjusted odds ratios. When comparing the odds that women will engage in certain behaviors with the ideal birth outcome, adjusting those odds for race, age, marital status, education, income, employment, and health insurance, I'd like to point out some notable findings. That is, while women intending a pregnancy are equally likely to be engaging in alcohol use, tobacco use, exercise, and folic acid as the ideal group, women at the highest risk for an unintended pregnancy are least likely to use alcohol, while also least likely to exercise or take folic acid. Interestingly, women in the moderate and low-risk groups were less likely to smoke than the ideal group. In terms of adjusted prevalence odds ratios for women not using any birth control, that is, women intending a pregnancy or those at the highest risk for an unintended pregnancy, they were all less likely to have had a pap test, STD counseling, or a dental visit than women with the highest risk for an unintended pregnancy, also least likely to receive any of the clinical encounters analyzed here. Of your seats waiting to see what I'm going to say next. Okay, so women not using any birth control have the highest prevalence of obesity and smoking and lowest prevalence of leisure activity, but those not intending a pregnancy have the lowest prevalence of folic acid consumption. And while the odds of women intending a pregnancy are engaging in selected lifestyle activities comparable to the referent group, women at the highest risk for an unintended pregnancy are less likely to consume alcohol as well as less likely to exercise or consume folic acid. High-risk women are at a lower odds for any of the clinical screening exposures analyzed here. So, what's the public health impact? Women may be more likely to change behaviors at pregnancy, but the idea is to change those behaviors before pregnancy because, as I'm sure you well know, a woman typically has to miss her first period, which is 4 weeks into, and so they could have had all these exposures at the earliest, most important developmental stage of a child. Getting nodding heads, so you know. If women choose to engage in behaviors that could hurt a pregnancy, they can also choose to use birth control to prevent a pregnancy. We need to do a better job of clinically reaching women that are intending a pregnancy beyond folic acid consumption, as well as women that are not intending a pregnancy.